come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Lord, again, I just come to you, Father. I pray, Father, for your anointing in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would guide this study. Lord, that you would go before us. We pray for those who are not here tonight because they are not feeling well. Lord, we pray that you would touch their bodies and that you would raise them up. I thank you for the praise reports that we have from a number of different people who are out of the hospital now. And they're Robert Rangel, who is actually walking since, hasn't walked since December 21st, I think. Who is actually just walking now, and it's so exciting, Lord, to see what you're going to continue to do in these people's lives, and that we continue to put our trust in you. Lord, keep us aware and alert to your voice tonight. Help us to walk in your way and to be sensitive to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am excited about getting into this book. I have sensed so much excitement amongst the ladies in getting into this book. People who have talked about it, have you noticed that people are talking about it all over the place? Once you get into a study, you go, oh, well, they're teaching on it, and well, they're teaching on it. Dave Rolfe said something about Daniel this past Sunday, and so we are all involved in it. I want to encourage you. This Bible study that you're holding in your hands, Lisa put together, and this is one of the best Bible studies that I have seen, particularly on the book of Daniel. I've seen some other ones where you just fill in the blanks and sort of things like that, but this has so much information in it so that when we're not able to teach verse by verse, you're going to get your in-depth by your homework that you do. So we're going to share with you as much as we can of those chapters. We're going to cover the chapters. We just won't be able to go verse by verse. So get into that. And we're so thankful that Lisa listened to the Lord when she put it together and that God gets all the glory for it. So when you think of the book of Daniel, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The lion's den. The fiery furnace. Yep. But there is so much more to this book, so much more that's in here. I found it to be a book of dreams, a book of visions, a book of prophecy. It has sadness, it has happiness in it, it has all kinds of things in it that we're going to be looking at. But speaking of dreams, actually, one of the commentaries that I read while I was studying for this, for Daniel, and I got to tell you, there were a lot of nights that I didn't sleep because of Daniel. And it wasn't that I was worried about it or anything. It was always on my mind. So there were those nights when I didn't get any sleep at all, but I knew it was the Lord who was keeping me awake because the next day, I was not tired. That's what God does, you know, when he is speaking to you. But speaking of, so this commentary that I read said that dreams are not for today. That people don't have dreams today that have to be interpreted. But he is wrong. So, and I'll tell you why I know that he's wrong, because I had a dream. And, you know, it says in the last days that the old men shall see visions and the young men shall dream dreams or whatever else it is. But I don't know where that puts me as a woman, but it says that the men are going to be doing all of this stuff, but I've been dreaming. So whatever category that puts me in, that's okay. I had this dream, and I wanted to share it with you. In this dream, I was all alone. I was 100% alone. I was very aware that I didn't have the support of anyone else with me. I was in, it started out in Israel, and it ended up in New York City. Who knows? You know dreams. But the first thing that I want to share with you about it, without going through the whole dream, was I was in a room. It was bright. The sun was out. It was shining into this room, and there were two men sound asleep in their beds, in their individual beds there. They were sound asleep in those beds. The next thing I came upon was, as I was walking along, realizing that I was all alone and I was probably lost. I did not have a purse. I did not have a phone. I didn't have anything with me. I had absolutely no support. And I looked up, and at the window up there, there were men who were practicing, literally practicing how to steal, practicing how to hurt other people. And as I walked along, and I got some help from someone else, that there were two women there, the young women, who were terrified. They were absolutely terrified. And I would just wanted to use their phone. But while I was talking to them, wanting to use their phone, I look over here and I see on the top floor of another place, there are some men practicing how to steal, how to hurt people. And then as I asked the girl to use her phone, she said I could use it, but only after I gave her where I was born, where I was living. I mean, she asked me everything in that. So what does this have to do with anything? That's when I woke up. And when I woke up, the one thing that I said to the Lord is, please don't let me be lost. Please don't let me be lost, Lord. And so as I was just, you know, when you have a dream like that that you remember, what do you do with it? You write it down and you put the date on it. And maybe you don't understand exactly what it is right then, but write down as much as you remember and allow the Lord to speak to you and find out what that dream means, because it's not by chance that he's given that to you. And so what it did show me was that I realized the men that were in bed were sound asleep when they should have been awake. They were sound asleep when they should have been awake. The sun was shining. The day was well into the day. And they should not have been sound asleep. And that is a place where we find many men today. Now, I'm not just picking on men. I know all of us have been in that place. But our men need to be alert and aware of what God's doing. And so they need to not be asleep at this time. They need to be alert and aware. And then I realized that the men in the windows who were practicing sin, they were practicing sin. And Matthew 24:12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." In 1 John 3:4, "Whoever practices sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And so they were practicing that. They were not repenting, they were not confessing, they were practicing sin. And doesn't that sound very familiar to the day that we live in right now? I was very aware, again, of the aloneness in this dream. I was all alone. I had no one else but the Lord. No one else was there for me. And it was a warning. The dream was a warning to be alert, to be awake, to be ready, to warn those who are still asleep, to be aware of those who are practicing sin. And the main thing in the dream was feeling alone. There's a time coming, ladies, when you will stand all alone. Whatever that time is, you won't be able to blame anybody else for anything in your life. It'll be all yours to bear, one way or the other. that time is coming, and I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be alert. I want you to be aware. I want you to be honed in on what God is saying to you. And as I realized that I was alone, it brought to mind this song that I sang when I was a little girl. Someone had taught me this song, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Just that simple little thing. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you just kind of didn't want to say anything because the people might think something of you? Well, I don't want to tell them I'm a Christian because they obviously, and we hide it. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone when no one else will stand with you. Dare to be a Christian. Dare to make it known. We live in a very interesting time right now, which leads me to my verse for this year. You know, every year I ask the Lord to give me a verse for the year. And this year I was writing my scripture writing and I accidentally went to 2 Timothy instead of 1 Timothy. So I'm writing down 2 Timothy and I'm going, well, this really doesn't go with the title, but it's really good meat of what's in here. And so when I went and found that it was 1 Timothy, I read this one over again, 2 Timothy 4:4-5, and realized this is my verse for the year, specifically tying it to this dream. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, and I heard the Lord saying, but you, be watchful in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And I would encourage you, ladies, fulfill your ministry. You all have, what is ministry? Service. We all have a service for someone else. We can bring people to Christ. Well, how can I bring people to Christ? I'm not a teacher. I'm not an evangelist. What is an evangelist? An evangelist is just someone who tells people about Jesus. That's all it is. No matter what your situation, you can talk and say, this is what God did in my life. That's being an evangelist. You are sharing what God's done in your life and bringing someone else to the Lord. So we get back to Daniel. And it's a book of dreams and visions, and angels will appear, the story that will happen in the future. And it brings, as it comes in the future, it's not to cause us to be fearful. It's to cause us to recognize that God will do exactly what he said he will do. Every prophecy that's in the Bible will be fulfilled just as God said it would be fulfilled. The book of Daniel is even more than that, though. And there are three things that I want to go over with you. Number one, Daniel, it is the revelation of the sovereignty of God. It is the revelation of the sovereignty of God. The same God of Daniel is the same God that we serve today. It was the same God then that we serve today. It's about God's faithfulness. It's about God's mercy. It's about God's grace. It's about God being a man of his word. It's about God being trusted. How do I know that I can trust God? How do I know that? Because I learn through studying his word and watching as his truth is revealed. As I study his word and watch as his truth is revealed. Hebrews 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. By being in his word, by studying his word, doing what we're doing right now, doing what you're doing when you do your homework, studying, find out, watch God's word be revealed in and through you. Number two, this book is about the sinfulness and rebellion of the human race. The sinfulness and the rebellion of us all. Not just the Jews. Daniel wasn't speaking just to the Jews. He was speaking to all people. We are a rebellious people. We are sinful, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And this will show up in our text as we get to chapters 4, 5, 8, and 11. So there's an abundance of this that is going to be shown to us in the chapters that are in there. It's about half of the Bible, or half of the book of Daniel. Number three, the book of Daniel explores the reality of spiritual warfare. The reality of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare, being aware of spiritual warfare, it's not to cause you fear. It is recognizing that there is something going on in the heavenlies. There is something else going on around us. The war is not against a person. It is spiritual in nature, and so we deal with it in a spiritual way. I don't want you to be unaware of spiritual warfare. It's going on all the time, and it isn't something to be afraid of. It is something to be aware of. And so what do? We put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 11 and onward. Put on the whole armor of God so that when you need to stand, you can stand. One of the things about the whole armor of God, you know, the Romans actually, their shoes, I don't know if we've talked about this before, you may already know this, but their shoes were like cleats. They were not made for running, they were made for standing in the mud. And that's what we need to do. When a soldier sleeps at night on the battlefield, what does he leave on? His shoes. He leaves on everything. So I want to encourage you. The thought of sleeping with all of your armor on, oh, that's going to be uncomfortable. Put on your whole armor and keep it on so that you are able to stand. And you can look that up in Ephesians 6 and do the study on your own. In this book, we'll see things that Daniel didn't understand. It would be the rise and fall of the Antichrist, the 7 years of tribulation, the resurrection of the dead, the time of the Gentiles, the dispersion and the regathering of the nation of Israel that Jesus would speak about in Luke 21:24. This book brings us to Christ. This book brings us to Christ. The book of Daniel will bring us to set our eyes on God. It is a prophecy of the one who will come, the one who will set us free. That is a prophecy of that. It was by faith that Daniel wrote all of this down. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things that we have hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And someone shared with me recently, faith is that is based on experience is not faith. Faith based on God's revealed truth is the only faith there is. Faith in God's revealed truth is the only faith that there is. Daniel penned much of this book by faith. Much of it he did not understand. We'll see that in one portion of it, God will tell him, that's for another time. You don't need to understand that. You just need to write it. So he wrote it by faith, and he put it in there. As you'll see when you read the introduction in your study book, this book contains the fulfillment of many of the warnings from other prophets of Israel's coming disaster. Now, this is on your page, your introduction page in your book, so I'm going to go quickly through it, but you can go back on it when you're studying. They forsook and ignored God's covenant in Isaiah 24. They neglected the Sabbath day and sabbatical year in Jeremiah 34. They gave themselves over to idolatry in 1 and 2 Kings and in Chronicles. They were warned of God's judgment by Jeremiah in chapter 7 and chapter 44. Josephus would write about Daniel. And when he wrote about Daniel, he wrote on an account of Daniel backed up by Ezekiel chapter 14 and chapter 28. Jesus spoke of the prophet Daniel on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24:15, and again, this is on your introduction sheet when you go over it. Jesus said that we need to be aware of prophecy and pass this news down to every generation. We need to pass down this news to every generation. There was a time when we talked about the coming of the Lord. There was a time when we left each other's presence and we'd say, "Maranatha, the Lord cometh, till the Lord comes." There was a time when we were looking for the Lord to come, and a lot of years have passed. And we've become weary. And we don't go, "Maranatha, bye, see you later." Don't lose that excitement about the coming of the Lord. Don't lose your vision of the coming of the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on him, because Jesus Christ will come back just as he said he would. Don't be found sleeping, and share it with others. We must pass it on, because one day these prophecies that Daniel wrote about will come to pass. The day that we live in today, we need to be aware of what God told us through prophecy. We live in an interesting time, a very interesting time. Daniel was a governmental servant. Yes, you can be in government and be a Christian. And we, you know what, we laugh at that. But the bottom line is, that is true. If God calls you to go into government, you better get yourself there. You go where God tells you to go. Christians are needed everywhere. We are needed every place. So if God calls you into government, then you go there and you allow him to direct you. And you walk through the stuff just like all the rest of us do in other areas. And you just, Daniel was that governmental servant, and we'll see where that put him too. He was a faithful historian of God's dealing with him, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all recorded. He put it all down so that we would know that God is faithful. There are three divisions to the book of Daniel. Again, this is written in that intro page. So the three different divisions: the personal history of Daniel, which is chapter 1. It's written in Hebrew. The prophetic plan for the Gentiles, chapters 2 through 7, that's written in Aramaic. And then number 3, the prophetic plan for Israel in chapters 8 through 12, that's written in Hebrew. So it's to the Jews. The last part of it is to the Jews. It's going to be, we're going to see the clarity on that. The title of our study is Daniel. Is that he was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. A man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose. All of us have a purpose on this earth. How do I know that? How do I know that you have a purpose on this earth? You're still breathing. That's how I know you have a purpose on this earth. When our purpose is over, our life ends. You may be in a place where you feel like, "Well, I've just retired," or "I'm in this place. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't have a purpose." Yes, you have a purpose. Take the time to find out from the Lord, what is your purpose? Why are you here? And sometimes that purpose is not long-term. Sometimes that purpose is, what is my purpose today? What's my purpose just today? I just need to get through today. Do you ever feel that way? I just got to make it through today. And God says, we'll do that. We can do that. We can walk through this together, because you have a purpose to be here. And God shows us what that purpose is. Part of Daniel's purpose was to warn the people, all of the people, the Jews and the Gentiles, to warn them of what was coming. We have a purpose here on this earth to be watchmen on the wall. To be watchmen on the wall. It is my purpose. It is your purpose to be a watchman on the wall. What is the responsibility of the watchman on the wall? It is to warn people of impending doom or impending danger. What is she doing? She's talking doom and gloom. Stop it. None of this. We don't want to have to deal with that. But I'm telling you right now, ladies, it is our job to let other people know that, yes, these things are coming, and whether I deny it or not, it's still going to come. It's still going to happen. And so I need to be responsible to the Lord to share that with other people and to warn other people of what of this impending danger. You could look at it. We have a purpose here on earth to be watchmen on the wall. You remember it is by grace that we are able to share these things with others. It's by God's grace that we are able to share these things with others. You could look at it as being an evangelist, and I've already talked about what is an evangelist. An evangelist is someone who just shares about Jesus, just shares about what God's done in their life. That's what an evangelist is, and creates in someone else a desire to have what I have. That's how I came to the Lord. I found somebody who had something that I wanted. And that's when I gave my life to Christ, because she had a peace that I wanted. And I knew that peace was through Jesus Christ. And so that's simply sharing Christ with others. So Daniel was a man of purpose. He was a man of prayer. Daniel prayed when all others might not have prayed. He prayed when it didn't look like the Lord was going to answer him. In chapter 9, so what did he do? He prayed and fasted for how many days? 21 days. How many of us would have given up so quickly? When we need to pray things through, ladies. We need to pray things through. And that might be a Pentecostal line. It may be a four-square line, you know. But we need to pray things through. A family member, maybe your husband or a family member, you have a problem. What do you do? Do you want to talk it through, or do you want to keep putting it under the rug? You want to talk it through, because you know what happens when you keep putting it on the rug? You keep putting it under the rug, and pretty soon there's a mound under the rug and you trip over it. And then you have a big problem. Then something's broken. And so talking it out, praying it out, praying it through, being willing to pray it through and to find out what God has to say to us. He prayed when he didn't understand things. He prayed when he was alone. He prayed with his friends, and he asked them to help him in prayer to have understanding of things. That first dream that the king had, he had to have his friends come alongside him and help him to pray that through. Sometimes we pray alone. Matthew 6:6 says, "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you openly." Now, this was talking of a time when the Pharisees would stand on the corners, and they would make great prayers, and there was, what were they doing? Who got the what?
They said,
she asked me to do that one more time. No, I cannot. I will not do a repeat visit of that. They were there to draw attention to who?
Themselves.
And God says, you go into your closet, and after you've closed the door, pray to him who is in secret, and he who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, times that I have spent invested with the Lord, times that I have invested with the Lord, and I've been just a little time away and a little bit of just the Lord and me, and someone comes afterwards, and I go up to them, and they, you know what things they say? You look bright. And then they say, you look younger. I'm going to spend a lot of time with the Lord now, because I can take that younger thing. I would love to look younger. And if I can do that by simply investing time with the Lord, not spending time. We don't spend time with the Lord. What happens when you spend your money? It's gone. What happens when you invest your money? Interest comes on it. You're better off after you have invested it. And so we invest that time with the Lord, and somebody tells us we look younger. So if that's the only reason, I will do it. But it'll get me started to do it anyway. So that man, one who sees in secret, and not being that one that is out on the street corner drawing attention to themselves, but hearing from the Lord. Sometimes we join with others to pray. There's strength when we agree in prayer together. There is strength in that. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is not saying, let me tell you what it's not saying. It is not saying confess your sin to someone else so that they can forgive you. It is saying confess your sins to one another so that you have someone you are accountable to. Someone who will say, you know what, we prayed about that. And you're not going to do that anymore, right? You said you're not going to do that anymore, and you're doing that. So there's someone who's accountable. We confess our sins one to another so that we are held accountable for the things that God's required of us. And so praying together encourages our faith. Daniel was a man of prophecy. Do you realize that two-thirds of the Bible is prophecy? Two-thirds of the entire Bible is prophecy. Did you know that the first word of prophecy is where? Where? Where in Genesis? 3:15, yes. Genesis 3:15, what's going on in Genesis 3:15? What's going on in chapter 3 of Genesis? Well, Satan came one day. He's into the garden, and he looks at Eve, and he goes, oh, honey, you're cute. Oh, look at that shiny hair. Aren't you beautiful? Look at your sparkling eyes. Oh, you are just gorgeous. And I just love how you're just so calm and everything. You are really something. So did God really say? You see what just happened there? You see what Satan does? Draws us in. A little bit here, a little bit there. And all of a sudden, he has us in a place of, what, doubting. But you know what doubting is called today? Deconstructing your faith. Have you heard that term? Deconstructing your faith. It's a fancy word for doubting everything good from the Lord. It's a fancy term that doubts whether or not God is really good. Did God really say? Did God really do? Did God, what about this in here? What about that in here? And people that I am hearing that are deconstructing their faith are not happy to just deconstruct their own faith and doubt everything, but they want you to deconstruct your faith. They want you to doubt everything that the Lord God has for you, everything that he's done for you, everything that you have walked through with him. They want you to doubt and say, oh, well, is God really good? Well, this is really hard. Is God really good? Yes, God is really good. And you know what? Satan does not know who he's messing with when he messes with us, ladies. Do you know who I am? Oh, honey, you have such pretty eyes, but do you know who I am? Oh, look at that shiny hair. Do you know who I am? Because I know who you are, and you don't fool me one bit. I ain't going your way. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of the King. You cannot do that to me. Because God is going to stand for me. And Jesus is going to be the one answering the door next time you come knocking. What are you going to say to him? Oh, I like your beard. You know, we will not be. So Satan comes in, into the garden. So back to the garden. So he comes in and he gets her to, he comes in to tempt her, to entice her, to deceive her, and into questioning God's love, his concern, his covering over her. Did God say? And today, Satan is working in our lives to deconstruct our faith and everything that he's done for us. Don't be fooled. Satan is at work right now, hoping that he can make you doubt everything you know about God, the God we serve. He's at work right now, this minute, this instant. You know, Satan never has a good day. He never says, you know what? I've been so hard on Ruth lately. I'm gonna give her a break. I'm just gonna leave her alone for a day. Satan never says that. He's always after us. And so we put on our whole armor so that we are able to stand when those things happen to us. And they will happen more and more and more, that we resist the devil and he will flee from us. Resist the devil and he will flee for a while. But I'll tell you, he'll be back. And that's not to scare us. That's to remind us that he will be back. And how do we do it? We put on our whole armor so that we're able to stand the next time he comes knocking at the door and we say, Jesus, would you get that? Okay, so moving right along. And so we put on a whole armor. Resist the devil who will flee from us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Never give up. Never give up. Never, ever give up. In the words of Winston Churchill, unless he's been canceled already. I don't know. But Winston Churchill said, never give up. Never give up. Never, ever give up. And we are never to give up, ladies. And I know you won't. I know you girls. You are all just as stubborn as I am. And you are going, I ain't going that way. I am not giving in. I'm not giving up. Not going to do it. So back to Genesis 3:15. Eve is deceived. That's what the scripture says. Eve was deceived. And it said that Adam outright sinned. Because Adam was told by God what to do and what not to do. And he sinned. And what did God do? God himself clothed them, told them the very first prophecy about the Savior, about the Messiah, about the person of Jesus who would come to deliver us all from our sin, that would lay down his life for us. There in Genesis was the promise of a Savior. In Genesis through Revelation, prophecy about Jesus begins in Genesis, it ends in Revelation. It covers the whole of the Bible, two-thirds of it at least that it's referred to. God himself clothed them. Prophecy begins in Genesis, ends in Revelation. God tells us these things before they happen so that when they happen, we may believe. John 14:29. In John 16:4, but these things I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. So Daniel was a man of purpose, he was a man of prayer, and he was a man of prophecy. As we go through this book, we aren't going to be able to cover all of the, like I said, we're not going to be able to cover verse by verse. But I am so excited for you guys to get into your homework and to find out what God has to say to you in it and to see what God has to say through this man, this who started out as a young man. I'm excited to see what a true man of God will show us in this man, Daniel. This story will cover a young man of the age of about 14 when he went into captivity and he would be there and for 100 years. He would be 100 years old by the time the book of Daniel was over when he told his story. We'll cover all of that when we get into chapter 1. I mean, it's not all in chapter 1, but we'll start in chapter 1 next week. So please give yourself to this study. Someone reminded me yesterday, on Sunday, that she said, I remember you said about doing the whole tostada. So let's do the whole tostada on this study. Let's be all in. Let's find out what God has to say to us. You'll be amazed. You'll be enthralled. You'll be encouraged. You'll be challenged. And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking about, you know, the greatest show on earth. When the circus, and they were telling you, come in and see this person, you will be this, and you will be that, and you will be the other thing, and I couldn't come up with any of the words that they said. But this study is going to change us, and it's going to make us women that never give up, never, never, never give up, but always walk with the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have drawn us to this place and that you are making us to be women that bring glory to your name. And we will continue to do great things for you, Lord. And we will do great things for God. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in our lives. I pray as the ladies get into their small groups, Lord, that they would be ministered to, they would minister to one another, they would pray for one another. Lord, that we would have groups that are so on fire for you, Lord, that people would look at them and say, you look younger because you have been with the Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.